kind of a long title. How, when, and why the earth and the heavens will melt with fire. There's an ancient prophecy that's over 6,000 years of age. There is another prophecy that is a little bit around, not quite 2,000 years old, that tell us something really strange is going to happen somewhere in the future, in the far distant future. And this is in the scripture in the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22. And listen to this verse. It's going to come up on the screen. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And this is the reference to a new heaven and a new earth that we will read about in the book of Revelation later on, hundreds of years from the time Isaiah wrote this. Most of you know that I believe very strongly in what I'm about to tell you, that there are three ages. There's ages past, ages present, and ages to come, or the future age. The future age is when we talk about the millennial reign of Christ, the beam of the judgment seat, the white throne judgment, that's ages to come. Ages present is the present situation we're in, the present culture, the present generation, this present time. But the most interesting thing, Rick Renner, you'll know this, to study are ages past. This really mysterious time that honestly Moses in the book of Genesis does not say a lot about. But when you go to different verses and put them together, you can piece the little puzzle together. And then when you begin to go to secular historians and secular sources that go back 4,000 years and scrolls they discover and carvings in rocks, you start getting a picture of something that is real mysterious, that's being known now. It's being taught now on social media quite a bit. I think some of the people have their teaching wrong, but I'm going to show you something. And this is what I am going to show you. In the book of Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, but the earth is without form and void, darkness is upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Anyone that knows Hebrew, and Bill Cloud is the master of Hebrew, will tell you that when you read Genesis 1:1, the Hebrew words, the way they're worded there is God spoke it, or God created it, and it was done in a good condition, and everything was great. And there's, and they, scholars bring those words out when they break it down. Then all of a sudden, you come to verse 2. But the earth is without form? That's weird. It's void? That's really weird. Void of what? What's it void of? If it's void, what's it void of? Something was there, and now it's been made void. So the earth is without form and void, and it's dark. Darkness is covering everything. Then God moved upon the water and said, let there be light, and there was light. But yet God doesn't create the sun, moon, and stars till the fourth day. And this is the first day. So it's called the early light of creation. And if you go to John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In him was life, light, and this life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. He's referring back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And so the light there was not just sun, moon, and stars. That's several days later. The light there was a supernatural light that took the darkness. What was the darkness? Was it just dark? Was it because there's no stars in the sky? What is the deal? What's going on here? So what I wanted to do was read a verse of scripture to you about creation. And then we're going to go from there. Everybody say we're going to go from there. Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. God says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who determined the measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what or where was its foundations fastened? Or who laid his cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy. Now that verse is Genesis 1:1. That verse is when God created the heavens and the earth, and he tells you, Job, where were you? You didn't even exist. then God gives you a very strange clue. He said, when I start creating, the morning stars started singing and the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, the sons of God here are not human. The sons of God here are Bnei Elohim, which is found four times in the Old Testament. They are the angels of God. Most scholars will agree that the term in Hebrew refers to angels. But then it says, the morning stars sang, and the Bnei Elohim, another group of angels, shouted for joy. So there's groups of angels, but he identifies two different groups there. He identifies a sons of God group, and this would later be the group of angels, or some of them, that God would send down to earth in the form of men. This is all in history. Rick writes about this. And they would begin to lust after the daughters of men. They would go into the daughters of men. They would produce a race of giants. That is in Genesis chapter 6 in your Bible. So the sons of God section are the section that Satan was able to pull from to create what would be called in your Bible the fallen angels. For the angels that kept not their first estate, God has now bound in Tartarus, in hell. The Greek word is Tartarus, in chains of darkness, the lowest part of the underworld, the lowest part of the hell chambers underneath the earth. And then Jude talks about it, how God has reserved them unto judgment. 2 Peter 2:4 talks about it. So when you read the sons of God, they had not fallen yet. When you read this verse, it's Genesis chapter 1:1. Everything looks cool. Everything looks great. Now it says, but the morning stars shouted for joy. But then it says this phrase, as the morning stars are singing. Now the phrase sons of God is that group of angels that we just mentioned, part of them that later fell. But then there is this thing called morning stars. Now why is morning stars important? Because if you go, as we will read in a moment, to the book of Isaiah, and it will tell you about Lucifer. Lucifer's name in the Hebrew there means a bright star, and it also can mean morning star. And scholars say it actually almost is a reference to the first star that appears on earth in the sight of men in the morning, which is the planet Venus. And Jesus is called the what? Bright and. So what about Lucifer? Lucifer is a bright star, or Lucifer's name is, if I can say it this way, morning star. So Lucifer is a head of the group of angels that sing. I've been teaching this for years. All you got to do is go to the book of Ezekiel. And the Bible says, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. Speaking about Lucifer or Satan. You're the anointed cherub. Every precious stone was your covering. The pipes were made in you. The timbrels were made in you. Just go read that verse and read it in Hebrew in Ezekiel chapter 28. And it indicates that this created being called the anointed cherub, whose early name was Lucifer, that meant bright star, he was a worshiping angel. And you can prove that from right there at creation, where the morning stars, that name is connected with the name Lucifer in Hebrew. Morning stars are doing what? Singing. Now the other bunch is shouting, but the morning stars are singing. So this Lucifer angel, before he fell with other fallen angels and led a rebellion against God with a third of the angels, was a worship leader, was a praise leader, and he was in Genesis chapter 1:1, which now leads me to where the message is about to get real heavy. Y'all just love that, don't you? He's about to tell you something, Mabel. Set up now. Okay. Now, this is a statement, which is in your Bible, which is made by Lucifer. And I want you to pay very careful attention to it. Because as I begin to read to you this particular statement, I want you to understand what is being taught now. I want you to understand scrolls that have been found. I want you to understand stone tablets that have been discovered. And the reason I want you to understand this is I'm about to tell you something that many of you have never heard in your entire life. And I'm going to explain it to you this way. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15, here's what it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, who did weaken the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God said, yet you shall be brought down to the sides of the pit. There are some non-canonical writings. Some of this is in Jewish history. We don't consider them inspired, but we consider them interesting as it relates to the context of what people were teaching 1,800 years ago, 2,000 years ago. And it tells you something very interesting about Lucifer. One of these writings said that when God created the heavens and the earth, and we have this incident where we have Lucifer or Satan bragging on what he's going to do. So remember what I'm about to say. This writing that exists says that the reason Satan fell is that God gave him authority. Now, wait a minute. This is going to get deep. That God gave angels authority over certain planets, and that Lucifer was given complete authority over planet Earth for an angelic kingdom. But something got his curiosity. You know what it was? Because he noticed that there was darkness, out there. That God was full of light. The kingdom of God was full of light. The angels were covered in light. But he looked out there and he saw darkness, and he wanted to understand the mystery of the darkness. And he went before God and he said, I want to know something. Teach me the treasures of darkness. You know, that's a phrase in the Bible. Teach me the treasures of darkness. And God said, this is something off limits to you. This is something you don't need to know. And Satan became obsessed with trying to understand what darkness was compared to what light was. And you know, we today compare good to light. We compare evil to darkness. And so something happened to him in his mind for him of trying to understand that. Now, let's go back to what he said. This is the confession that he makes, and this is where we're going to go. We're going to dig into this for a little bit. So if you're here, stay with me, because this is going to get more interesting as we go along. It appears, if you'll read the statement of Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15, that Lucifer or Satan, okay, this created being, before he fell, is on the earth. And I can prove that to you by the following. He says, I will what? Ascend into heaven. Now, the way I was always taught, he was in heaven and he was booted out of heaven. But here it says he has to do what? Ascend into heaven. So, which tells me he was not in heaven at the time he makes his statement. So he's on earth, apparently, which is the planet the angels were ruling over before the creation of Adam. That's where I'm going. Then he says, I'm going to go above the clouds. Now, if you're where the clouds are, from the ground up to the sky, the atmospheric heaven is 60 miles high where the oxygen is. And you said it the other day, there is a level where the prince spirits and the powers rule. That's the atmospheric part. So he says, now I'm going to go above the clouds. So he has to be on earth in order to do what? Go above the clouds, then ascend into heaven. And then he says this. Now, if he's already in heaven and God is in the third heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if God is in the third heaven and Lucifer's in the third heaven, the way we've always been taught, why does he say, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God? Now, let me say this up front. Stars can be sun, moon, and stars in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew. But stars can also be angels. Because if you will read the book of Revelation, it says that a star came down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit. That wasn't a meteorite. That was an angel. And so the reason that the angels can be called stars, and they use that idiom, or well, I don't know if it's an idiom or a metaphor, but whatever you want to call it, they use that to identify angels. And they say, okay, the stars are the angels. First of all, is because stars are heavenly. Secondly, stars are sitting above everything. We can get all of these reasons why God allows the word stars to be used for the heavenly host. And the Bible talks about God created the sun, moon, and stars and the heavenly host. And the word host in Hebrew is the word for armies. So when you see Lord of Hosts, it actually translates to Lord of Sabaoth, not Sabbath, but Lord of Sabaoth. Both in the book of James, which means the Lord of the heavenly armies. Now, everybody still here say yes. So now he says this. So now I'm going to come from the earth above the clouds. I'm going to go and sit way beyond the stars where God is. And here's your big one. And as I'm going, I will ascend in the sides of the north. Now in Job 26 and verse 7, this is one of the things I saw at age 18 about the location of heaven. And I start teaching it and it became a classic message. By the way, all the partners of the legacy, you're going to get that message from 1981, where I first preached it in this city to over 2,000 people at a church. And it became a classic for many years. Called heaven, location, destination. And so when I looked at this, it says this in Job 26 and 7. He stretches out the north over the empty place and he hangs the earth upon nothing. You and I know that the earth is hanging on nothing but the word of God. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. This is the Bible. But also, what's this deal about the sides of the north? There is something in the heavens, you can look it up later, called Boots Constellation. And in the Boots Constellation, which is in a northern part of heavens, there is a massive empty space. There's no stars, no galaxies, nothing there. And some people believe, I don't have time to get into this because this gets into a whole nother teaching, but they tend to believe that when you leave this earth and you're a Christian and the angels carry your spirit, you don't just bump into clouds and bump into galaxies and bump into the gases and all those wonderful things and you pass through this red streak and that yellow streak. Everybody describes a tunnel. And that would be an empty place in the universe where you would go through to get from this side to that side. And Satan plainly says, I am going to go into the sides of the north. Why would he want to go to the sides of the north? Because the Bible says there's an empty place there. And in that empty place, I don't have time to develop this any further than where I am right now, is the entrance to heaven, the entrance to the third heaven. It's billions of light years away through that empty space. But all of this begins to make sense. Now here's what I want you to see. I want to be careful how I say this. Okay. Years ago, I am a student and have been for many years of a man named Finis Dake. And I know the Dake family personally. I met him years ago. Now, anybody ever heard of a Dake's Bible? How many of you have a Dake's Bible? Okay. That was the first Bible. I dated a girl years ago. I still remember her name. And the greatest thing she ever did was get me a Dake's Bible. And I still have that Bible. To this day, I have that Bible at the office. Now, Dake had several theories, Rick. I don't know if you're aware of this, that years ago, they called him a heretic. When I went to put, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. But when I went to put my study Bible together, I told a professor that is a friend of mine. Oh, he's a genius. I said, Professor so-and-so, Dr. so-and-so, I'm going to put in my Old Testament some things that are maybe a little controversy. And he said to me, Perry, don't do it. You're controversial enough the way it is. And I said, well, you know, I say it's controversial. I can prove it. But when some people read it, they're going to say, I don't know about that. And he said, what are you going to put? And I said, I'm going to put the theory that the sons of God took on the form of flesh. This is what the early fathers taught, guys. You know who stopped teaching it? Julius Africanus in the fourth century, who believed that he was Catholic, who believed that if we teach that angels can become men and fall, that means the monks can sin. And we can't have the monks believing that they can sin. And that's why they pulled that away and they changed it to the sons of God being the sons of Cain going into, you know, let me get off of that. Me and Rick could talk about that all night long. Okay, now, here's the thing I want to tell you, though, that's very interesting. That when I said that to him, he said, don't put that in there. And I said, why? He said, it's too controversial. But I said, there's too much evidence for it. There's too much biblical evidence. There's too much historical evidence. There are angels. And I'll give you the Jewish side. Before the Torah was written, the Torah, this is 2,500 years from Adam to Moses. No one had a written word from God. No one. God did not have a Torah. You know what he was doing? God was sending dreams and visions and angels to see men. He sent an angel to Jacob. He sent an angel to Abraham. He's sending angels to men. And sometimes in Genesis 19, they look like human men. Because it says that Abraham, God, and two angels came. And the men of Sodom, they look like men. And they said, bring those men out that we may know them. They were angels. They were not men. All right, this is about to get deep. Touch your neighbor and say it's about to get deep. The world's premier prophetic voices were all in one location for an end-time prophetic summit. The 2026 conference messages are now available, unedited, on DVDs, CDs, MP3 audio, and on digital download. 7 speakers, 14 messages in 3.5 days. Attendees called this a Bible school in a vinyl case. Here are the message titles. Jonathan Cahn preached on war harbingers in Persia and gave us an update on America's demonic battle. Rick Renner preached 3 messages, powerful Greek word studies concerning your personal spiritual warfare, breaking down the details of second coming signs, the rapture and the revealing of the restrainer, and then this great message called The Mystery of the Holy Spirit from the original Greek New Testament. Joseph Z, How to Keep Revelatory Movements Alive in the Earth and Mastering Your Prophetic Experiences. Bill did one of the greatest messages I ever heard. It's called The Mingling of the Iron and Clay Has Begun. Dr. Brian Cutshaw came in with the fire and anointing of God and preached today's battle for Holy Ground, the final Ishmael and Isaac clash. Jeremiah Johnson taught a word called The 5 Satanic Strategies Before You Birth a Breakthrough. My 5 messages were the Iranian Revolution and the aligning of the last coalitions. Then I preached when God sends a warning to you through your pets and animals. The 3rd message was called America and Jerusalem's Coming for Your Harbingers. The next message was how, when, and why the earth and heavens will melt with fire. And the final message I preached was Prince Spirits and Archangels, the battle for the fulfillment of the prophecies. The 14 audio CDs are $65 a set. The 14 DVDs are $95 a set. And you can also get the USB flash drive for $65, and you can look into getting digital downloads. There is an offer number for each one of these. It is important to get the right offer number when you're ordering, whether it be CD, DVD, or whatever the case may be. Now, you can order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD, or if you'd like to mail a check for the amount and also put what you're ordering with the offer number, you can go to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and remember, put the offer number in there as well. You need to get started in your personal study. This was the greatest prophetic summit or conference I've ever been in, and I want you to hear everything that was said. God bless you. You know, I've said for years that revelation can change your situation. And the revelation is what comes out of the scripture. In my lifetime of 50 years of being in ministry and having numerous conferences every year, in the month of April was one of the greatest coming togethers and gathering togethers of prophetic speakers in the history of our ministry. And now we have it available on DVD, CD, and the MP3 audio. 14 messages by the speakers. Now, you've already seen it advertised, but let me remind you again. Myself, Jonathan Cahn, Joseph Z, Rick Renner, Bill Cloud, Dr. Brian Cutshaw, and Jeremiah Johnson. And I want to say to you that our ministry continues around the world. It's probably around $5.5 to $6 million a year in airtime. And we don't send out letters asking for money. We don't send out, you know, you don't get a letter from us every month. I'm not against people that do that, but I'm just saying for us, we just have to trust God, and we've always trusted Him. But what we want you to know is that when we go outside of the United States and reach millions of people, we almost never get any income from outside of the United States
to the ministry to help us keep the stations on the air and the programs on the air in those nations. That's why this resource material is important. It goes back 100% to the Voice of Evangelism Ministry, and in return, you will get information and insight that's going to be a great help to you. So order it right now if you have the opportunity. And you, I promise you this, there's some of these messages you're going to either watch or listen to over and over several times, because that's how content filled that they were. Now, Family Faith Church at the Willis campus on Friday and Saturday morning and Saturday night, August the 14th through the 16th. And then on the 16th, I'm sorry, the 14th and 15th. And then on the 16th, we'll be at Family Faith Church at the Huntsville campus. Now, you can go to perrystone.org and get the information on that. But Texas folks, we're coming with not just the word from the Lord, but there has been, and I want to say this before I get to the rest of these places, there has been a very fresh new anointing. I think that my health is better. I've got some things, you know, the diabetes, high glucose is under control now, much better than it was. I'm feeling stronger in the altar services, and now we're seeing just a, let me just tell you what people have told me that have known me for 40 years. They said the old Perry is back. The Perry that we remember that had the 8, 10, 11 week revival, the Perry that we remember that would preach and then just pray for people in the altars and God would show up, he's back. And I want to thank God for that, because it's been quite a journey the past couple years, really. But anyway, please join me there, and also Mercy and Grace Cathedral in Springdale, Arkansas, 22nd and the 23rd. And I believe that would be a Saturday and Sunday. And again, we don't get to Arkansas that often. This is your time to get in your car and join me and personally meet me. And we want to see you. We want to greet you. We want to meet you. We're enjoying meeting the many wonderful people that are in the body of Christ. Now, don't forget that the month of October is the 50th anniversary celebration. This is going to be, it's going to be the biggest thing and the greatest thing we've done in the history of the ministry. And you have to register to attend. There's no fee, but you go to perrystone.org to register. Check out all the hotel information that we have and come and join me and Pam and the entire family for this once, really once in a lifetime event. Talk to you later. God bless you.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.
I want you to join me and our entire family for a one-time historic event. On Tuesday night, October 6th through Saturday, October the 10th, Pam and I will host our 50th anniversary of ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee. This is our homecoming event. I have 5 new messages, including a major prophetic update. Special morning speakers are going to be John Brevere, Mario Morello, and Dr. Tim Hill. Lyndall Cooley will be leading us in worship. But listen to this. You're going to enjoy some of the best gospel music on the planet. Southbound is coming. Lee University Campus Choir, Old Tradition from Kentucky, Brian Free and Assurance, and many others. And don't forget Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon. It's fun. It's fellowship. It's food. It's fantastic. Now, the event is free to attend. However, you must register at perrystone.org. Do it today.